Hi, and welcome to the Theme Park Trader Podcast with your hosts, Ryan and Dan.
Hello.
This week we're talking about yours, yes, your favourite Epcot attractions.
Did you do that? Say it's the same.
Same thing last week, yeah. well, we thought last week went pretty well. You guys seemed to enjoy the episode. So this week we asked our audience on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter to feed into what their favourite Epcot attractions were. We haven't really read the results in too much detail, so we're going to read those, talk through those, and then probably refresh ourselves on what our favourite attraction is. We've done our favourite stuff before, but this is a focus on you guys and what you think of Epcot. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast.
Each of us has a dream, a heart's desire. It calls to us, and when we're brave enough to listen and bold enough to pursue, that dream will lead us on a journey to discover who we're meant to be. All we have to do is look inside our hearts and unlock the magic. Stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
So, let's start off with a bit of newsy news.
Yeah.
Newsy news, 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 news. I have started the process of booking everything for my 3-week epic honeymoon trip.
Right, okay. What sort of things? I know you booked the flights, right?
Yeah, so we're flying premium economy.
Nice.
Which is amazing. We've never done that before. That for people at home thinking that as of right now we're rolling the money, we're not. Make it rain with 1p coins. that's 1 cent to you listening in America.
And the exchange rate is pretty much one
for
one.
It's pretty much one for one, yeah.
That's good.
So we booked our flights earlier last week, and as I said, premium economy, which we've never done before. I'm really excited by that.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, a load of people fed back to me on Twitter about what it was like, and apparently it's premium. I mean, you've flown premium before, right?
Yeah.
Because you're a rich boy. And apparently,
you weren't going to use the word boy there.
I wasn't. I just remembered that we're not recording, the customer's always weird, and I was like, okay, I can't say that one. And yeah, I mean, apparently people are saying, you know, obviously first class is first class,
yeah.
But there aren't two, like, there's not, like, a huge difference. Because then you go from, like, $2,500 to $18,000, the price point
between premium economy
and first.
Right, okay.
That's
I
for
mean,
two
I've
people.
Never flown
that's two people.
First or anything like that, so I got no comparison. Yeah. But
oh, that surprises me. No, but anyone that's dropping $18,000 on flights.
Yeah.
It's like, really? It's
you've got to have a serious amount of money to do that.
It's eight hours, like, 9 hours. Do you really need to spend $18,000?
The difference between the two, like, maybe if you were flying to Australia, maybe, like, you're talking like a 24-hour flight.
Yeah, possibly. But then you have to change planes, usually.
Yeah. Although, I don't think we changed planes.
Did you not?
No, we definitely stopped, but we didn't change planes.
Oh, sorry, it's a refuel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah,
that's what I meant. So, yeah, I think on premium, and you can back me up on this, you get a bigger screen, you get bigger, wider seats.
Yeah.
Which is probably going to be even more useful on the way home.
Yeah.
you get champagne or cheap champagne.
You get more legroom than the economy seats.
You get more legroom.
Although when we flew in October, we were at the bulkhead seats. Is that the name for them?
Exit row.
Oh, exit row. What's the bulkhead seats?
No idea.
I don't know what those are. I can't remember.
They were quite good. But
yeah,
they are very narrow, aren't they?
Very narrow.
We're not particularly massive people.
No, but they were significantly more narrow than what I'd remembered.
Yeah, they were for me as
well. So, yeah, I don't know whether I can't remember how I flew previously, because the previous time may have been premium economy, the last time I flew.
Yeah.
But I can't remember.
And also you get like snacks and people coming at the front that you can go and grab at any point.
Right, okay.
So they consist of olives and crisps and chocolate and things like that.
Yeah.
So we chose to go downstairs premium economy above, instead of going upstairs premium economy. And the reason we did that is because the snack place is downstairs and there is nothing upstairs.
Right, okay.
Which I think is quite interesting.
That is strange, isn't it?
The prices were no different.
Right. And yet you get slightly different things.
Yeah, and you get a nicer meal as well.
Yeah.
On premium.
You meant to, yeah. Can you... Because I've flown... Because when I mentioned about... Because I flew premium economy to Australia.
Mm.
And you can have... I can't remember whether it's Virgin or Qantas, but you could have your food at any time. It might have been Qantas, maybe.
Mm, I don't know about Virgin.
Because I don't remember... I think Virgin, they all, you know, everyone has the meal at the same time. Whereas I think in the Qantas one, you can have any food from the menu at any time.
Right, basically. Right.
Which probably makes more sense given it's a like 24-hour
flight. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? So yeah, we're quite excited about that. And also we get two suitcases each.
Yes, yeah.
Which is going to be huge for us because obviously we're there for 3 weeks. We're going to try and get a couple of Ubers to the likes of Target and Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
So we may end up filling a case with just like cereal and sweets and all that kind of thing.
Nice.
So it gives us a lot of space to buy merchandise. Yeah.
Are you going to bring two cases each?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think on the way out there we might put the case within the case.
Oh, okay.
Because we don't need two going out there.
Yeah. That makes sense.
We don't need two going out there.
Yeah. That's the thing as well. Because presumably you're going to buy a lot of merchandise and things like that. And, you know, because there'll be like wedding specific merchandise that you can buy this year as well.
Yeah.
You know, because it doesn't really make sense. It's a bit weird otherwise any other year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the other thing that we are going to book probably within the next couple of weeks is, believe it or not, tickets to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party.
Yes.
So the tickets were released last week.
That's mental.
That is mid-January. Not even mid-January they were released, which is crazy.
Yeah.
The prices haven't changed, which isn't shocking because it's Disney, but I believe they should have been lowered, personally.
So have they already announced the dates then?
Yep.
I assume. Okay.
Dates are out. Tickets are out. I think there's 2 extra days this year.
Right.
Both in August, I believe. Classic.
That's the thing. They can't exactly extend it into November because as soon as they close the Halloween stuff, Christmas. They introduce Christmas, don't they? So.
Believe it or not, the Christmas decorations and music for across the parks in Walt Disney World only came down last week.
Really?
And people were actually complaining.
Yeah.
So you're talking maybe 14th, 15th of January.
Blimey.
And the Christmas music and decorations are still up and playing.
Because normally they say like is it the 6th of January or something?
6th of January is when it's
meant to come down. Yeah.
But we're talking like 14th, 15th.
Wow.
Maybe even 16.
That sounds like cash grabbing to me.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. It makes you wonder what they earn more money from. Do they earn more money from Halloween or Christmas?
I think it will be Halloween.
Because the thing is, because they can run Halloween for a lot longer because there's nothing before it.
Yeah.
But then Christmas time, they must jack up the prices a lot at Christmas, don't they?
That's true.
So it's hard. It's a smaller period, but they probably earn... There's probably per customer there or per guest, they're earning more money from it. But
I guess the other thing is, though, outside of the Very Merry Christmas merchandise,
yeah.
you can buy Christmas merchandise all year round at Disney World.
Yes, you can, because
they've got least two main Christmas shops, one in Disney Springs and one in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
But there's other shops that sell Christmas merchandise as well.
Mm.
So...
That's very true.
I'm not sure. Because whereas Halloween, you can't get outside of August to October, which is a long time to buy Halloween merchandise
for. August, September, October. Like three... I don't know what date it starts in August.
I'm not sure. Should we have a look? But yeah, it's...
I wonder what point they'll say, you know, we can't... Like July.
So it starts on August the 16th this year.
Okay, so mid-August. So they've got a bit of time.
That's nuts, isn't it?
They can keep extending it by a few days every year.
Yeah. And
I think if they start going into July, that's going to be crazy. August is crazy enough.
It is.
But if they start going into July, that's going to be mental.
Yeah. So we arrive on the 26th of October, which means we either need to go on the 27th, the 29th, or the 31st.
Right, okay.
We're probably going to try and make it there for the 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Or the 29th, I think.
Right, okay.
I haven't decided yet. We're after this podcast,
Only doing one?
Only doing one Mickey's Not So Scary, I think.
And two Halloween horrors?
At least two, yeah.
At least two, right.
Undecided yet, we're going to be talking about it after this podcast.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're going to be talking about restaurants. That's the priority.
Yeah.
Because once you've got your days and your restaurants, but the thing is, I don't even know that the park hours are even there yet.
Oh, okay. For that far ahead.
Yeah. Because if they're not, it seems mental.
Do they release what show days are available?
Yeah.
Although I suppose, like, well, I suppose during the Halloween period, it's different, isn't it? But
so I can't even see park hours in August yet.
That's mental.
But I can book my
office. But you know what days?
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah. Because I was looking to see, because we haven't seen, we're obviously going in April, and we haven't seen the new Universal show.
Yeah.
So we'd like to see that, but they don't release the dates very far in advance.
Mm.
So it's like we're trying to plan what day we want to go to Universal.
Yeah.
But because they don't run the show every day. Although actually, no, I think they showed it most days, actually, when I looked at the current, like, two, three-week period.
They should show it most days, yeah.
Yeah, I think there was, like, one, maybe 2 days a week that they don't show it.
Mm.
So it's a case of trying to work out which day we want to book it for, or not book it for, arrange it for.
The thing about Universal, what I find surprising, is just how early the park shut there.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
It's weirdly early,
they could be making
it?
A fortune if they were to just open up until 10, like Magic Kingdom does.
Yeah, especially as they're mostly aimed at a slightly older audience.
Yeah.
That would be out later anyway.
I know.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's very strange.
So, yeah, we're kind of very much in the planning stages at the moment. We can't really book any restaurants until we know the park hours, annoyingly.
Yeah, because you can't book them until April anyway, right?
When are the hours up until at the moment? July, I think.
Presumably it's the 26th of...
Mid-July.
26th of April you can start booking them?
Yeah.
Is that right?
So I think we'll only just see the park hours.
Right, okay.
Just before or around about the same time we can book restaurants.
Yeah.
Which is stupid. I think we had the same problem last year.
Mm.
I think you just have to gauge... usually the extra magic hours will...
They seem to apply generally on the similar days, don't they?
Yeah.
So if you look at a period now...
If I go tomorrow, which is a Monday, I guarantee you Animal Kingdom will have extra magic hours.
Right.
Usually it's on a Monday. And there we go, Monday.
Yeah. So you can generally work out roughly what is going to be what.
Exactly. So yeah, the honeymoon's underway. As soon as we have some more concrete plans, obviously we'll do a special episode on what we're planning to do and why and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But at the moment, yeah, all we've done is booked our flights, which is obviously quite a big deal, a big part of it. Virgin did really annoy me because their prices were extortionate and I inquired as to why.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, it's October half term. Yes, but it's the Saturday half term ends. You're telling me that people were flying to Florida for 2 weeks on that Saturday? Because that's nonsense.
That's ridiculous, isn't it? They're just trying to get more money, aren't they?
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, significantly higher.
So it's the Saturday at the end of it, is it?
Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it? Because nobody's...
I mean, I know some private schools have 2 weeks.
Right, okay.
But even so, that's not exactly many people in the grand scheme of things.
You wouldn't have thought so. It's like...
They would have flown on the first week to have 2 weeks out there.
Yeah. You wouldn't fly on the last week for 2 weeks.
No.
It doesn't make any sense. And if you're going... And if you've got your kids in a private school, chances are you're going to be going for 2 weeks and not 1 week.
Yeah.
So
exactly, right. Yeah. Exactly. So I thought that was a little bit ridiculous. But we managed to get the premium eventually. The seats were almost sold out, though.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So I think there were two first class left.
Yeah.
Which is quite surprising. There weren't many economy left.
Oh, okay.
So it was busy, in Virgin's defence, but they do jack up the prices for no reason.
Yeah.
Especially during the sale time.
It's a bit weird, isn't it? Because when we were looking at prices, the prices went down when the sale ended.
Yeah,
I think it depends
on how many people purchased the tickets during the sale.
It's ridiculous.
It's a bit of a gamble. But...
Yeah, the whole thing, it makes no sense. If you're looking at the prices and you're trying to work out when the best time to buy is, it's just trying to make sense of it is impossible.
It really is. The other thing that I wanted to talk about before we talk about Epcot is Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
Mm.
So apparently, according to rumours, the date, this is not official from Disney, the date has shifted from late fall to fall.
Late fall, so they're bringing it forward.
Apparently, this is rumours. I don't believe that.
Yeah, that seems...
I'm going to be optimistic.
If anything, I was thinking it was going to be like 2020.
Yeah.
Not bring it forward, but push it back.
I don't think it's going to be fall. I don't think it's going to be fall at all.
Do you think it's going to be this year?
No.
Yeah, I at the moment, I'm thinking it's not going to be this year.
I don't think it will be.
Partly because, I mean, they look like they're really far behind.
Yeah,
and it was already
do.
Late fall anyway, and it was already rumoured to be December.
Yeah.
And you can't get it, you can't push it back much further.
No.
And then when they said, when they released that tweet saying with things we're looking forward to in 2019 and Star Wars wasn't on the list,
yeah, it's a bit
pretty
weird,
big indication that it might not be opening this year.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously Bob Iger revealed, I think, was it a June or July date, I can't remember, for Disneyland's Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
But nothing yet for Disney World.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming he's going to maybe wait until May, June or December to go, oh yeah, it's not actually opening, sorry.
December 31st.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, playing in February. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm assuming at some point soon, in the next couple of months, we'll get a date or a month.
They've got to give a rough idea soon, haven't they? Because people want to plan trips.
Yeah.
And you're talking, even if you were talking December, we're now essentially 11 months away.
Yeah.
And people need to start booking their trips.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, if it opens this year and it opens in early fall, our trip is going to be super busy at Disney World.
Yeah. Massively.
At the very least, Hollywood Studios will be rammed.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, we're not too bothered. We're there for 3 weeks. If we have to queue for stuff, we have to queue for stuff.
Yeah, so you got a little bit of extra time to play with, haven't you? So, which is nice in the event that it opens. But yeah, I wouldn't. I'm not holding my breath.
I'm not either. And then I should say the other big news is that apparently Universal are working on a Jurassic, probably Jurassic World roller coaster.
I mean, they've been rumoured to be working on a world Jurassic World ride for a while, haven't they?
I assumed they would do what they did in Hollywood and just shut the river ride and reopen that as Jurassic World. I'm glad that they're not.
Yeah, you could see that Universal, that being the thing that Universal would do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and rumoured to be a track coaster is pretty huge, really.
Mm.
You know,
that'd be two track coasters opening up within a 3 year period at Islands of Adventure.
Yeah, and it's quite a strong track offering there as well, isn't it? You've got Hulk, the new Harry Potter ride, and potentially a Jurassic Park ride.
Yeah.
Three big track coasters.
Be great, yeah.
You don't really see that, like, big track coasters in between Universal and Disney.
I mean, it's classic Universal not to reveal anything and then already start work on it.
Yeah.
I
mean, we've got construction walls up.
Yeah.
Plans submitted.
Yeah.
To the city.
It's the same with the Harry Potter ride. All they've said is a Harry Potter ride is coming.
Yeah.
They revealed nothing else.
No.
Whereas Disney would have had four behind the scenes videos by this point.
And considering they've, considering it's meant to be sometime early 2019, they said.
Yeah, we've still heard nothing, really.
They haven't announced anything.
The thing about Universal is, it's a lot quieter than Disney, but when you think about it like that, they don't market their rides very well.
No.
I mean, they had the Fast and Furious advert, which was terrible. That family, like, rushing into a car and getting to Universal, like, speeding.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a good message to send.
No.
We've heard nothing, really, on no behind-the-scenes or anything for Harry Potter, despite seeing behind-the-scenes videos for the likes of Kong.
Yeah,
where they reveal animatronics and things like that.
Yeah, and you think they'd be massively pushing Harry Potter stuff because all the people that, you know, all the Harry Potter hardcore fans will want to go out there and ride the new ride.
Exactly, yeah.
So you think it would be a big, because Harry Potter was huge for them.
Yeah.
So you think they'd want to be pushing this like crazy, wouldn't you?
Yeah. So it's weird. But yeah, let's move on to Epcot, which is obviously my favourite theme park, as I say whenever I get the chance to. And we asked our friends on Facebook what their favourite attraction was, past or present, at the park. So we're just going to read out some of the comments and go from there. So Lenny says, Soarin', the feeling of actually hang gliding and the smells. He also says, space-wise, it would have been cool if they kept the California one too and gave people an option to do either one. I think Soarin' is obviously a great ride.
Yeah.
I don't think I can... No one can deny that. I think...
I know you're not keen on the CGI, are you?
The CGI is weak on the new one, but I still think I prefer the new one.
Right, okay.
But I would like one... It would be nice if one of the concourses was like the classic California version.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, because they could have easily have done three versions.
Kept
the California one, introduced like two new ones, and then just do each of the three concourses. Although, did they have the third concourse when the new one came out?
They introduced it shortly before, I think.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they could have done, like, across the three concourses. And then, because if anything, that would be more of an incentive to ride again kind of thing, wouldn't it? You know? Not that you need an incentive, actually, really.
Yeah, it's such a good ride. It is a good ride.
Yeah, and the smells are incredible, aren't they?
They are. They really, really add to the experience.
Yeah, and it's very, they're very distinctive. It's not like a subtle smell, is it? You know, it's very powerful, considering the size of the room.
Yeah, you can really smell it. It's pretty amazing how they do it.
Yeah.
Someone at Nancy says, soaring, the best feeling, like you're flying. I think soaring is a great ride, but I don't really get the sensation that I'm flying.
I know what you mean. It's not exactly... I mean, obviously, there's certain elements that take away from it, depending on the concourse you're on. And
so this is the issue, right?
Yeah.
The biggest problem with soaring is if you're in row C.
Yes.
Yeah. You've got to be row A, for one, and you have to be central to row A to really get the best experience.
No, I think you need... I can't remember which one it was. B2 or something?
Is it row B?
Because, granted, you see some feet... But if you're at the top, you see the edge of the screen.
So
I think you probably get a better... Personally, I think you get a better view from, like, B2, which is, like, central or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy with either A or B, normally. Yeah. But I think every time we rode it last year, we were in C.
Yeah, we didn't have good seats
last year. I think we rode it three times, at least, and we got C every time.
Yeah, what are the chances? I mean, you can ask, but it's a bit of a faff, isn't it?
Yeah, and also, there's people waiting to go on the ride. Like, you know, don't be that guy.
Just get what you get.
C is not the road to be on. I think that's one. That's probably the only down, other than the CGI.
Yeah,
that's the downfall of the ride.
Yeah, it's very. You gotta depending on where your seat is. If it was the first time you rode it and you were on row C, you could understand if you would get a bad impression of the ride.
Mm.
But granted, it's still very good.
Oh yeah, don't get us wrong. It's one of the best rides. At Disney World, and every other Disney resort now.
Yeah.
Copy and paste. Next one says, Sarah says, Test Track, love it. Not much more than that, just she loves Test Track, which is fair.
I mean, it's a great ride. It's breaks down quite a lot, isn't it?
It does, yeah. It does break down an awful lot. And I'm not sure if I prefer the old setting or not.
Yeah, Test Track. I think I prefer the idea of the test dummy.
Yeah, it doesn't really feel like it should be called Test Track
anymore.
I mean, I guess you're testing your designs. Yeah, it's a bit of a loose...
It's a bit... Yeah, as you say, it's a bit loose, isn't it?
It fits better in Future World now.
Yes.
But it's... I feel like the pretending to be a test dummy was a better experience.
It was a better concept, wasn't it? Doing it like that. You didn't used to design your car as part of that, did you?
No.
Yeah.
No. You had to go in and watch a video of some guy talking through some of the safety tests that you've been going through.
Yeah.
Janine says, Epcot is my least favourite park. Well, I don't care anymore, Janine. however, I do like the Food and Wine Festival, and favourite ride would be Test Track. And then she goes on to say, Food and Wine Festival is amazing, especially if you have the Disney Dining Plan and can use snack credits at the Food and Wine.
A woman after your own heart,
she's made up for the fact that Epcot's her least favourite park with that. Absolutely, if you've got the Disney Dining Plan, those snack credits really do come into their own at the Food and Wine Festival. I mean, you experienced that
last year.
Makes
quite a difference, doesn't it? Especially when some of these dishes are like $8-$10
potentially. Exactly.
Because
the lobster ones are like, as you said, $9-$10. Mm.
So it really does make it quite a difference if you've got like loads of snack credits. It's surprising how many you have, isn't it? Like, when we finished,
we had to get quite a few.
We bought a lot of snacks, didn't we, at the shop.
So I just worked out that me and Donna next year will have, this year we'll have 84.
84 snack credits. Wow.
Mm.
That's.
I mean, so the Food and Wine Festival.
You're going to get fat.
Yeah. The Food and Wine Festival is only on for the first 2 weeks of our trip.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
So
you're going to be making the most of that.
We'll be at the food. Yeah, I mean, Donna and I really, really enjoy the Food and Wine Festival. Yeah. It is. I think it's probably part of the reason why Epcot... I think Epcot is up there as Donna's... Maybe not her favourite, but it's certainly up there.
Yeah.
Although I think it is her favourite, because she likes the chilled out walk between World Showcase.
It's your favourite.
It is your favourite, damn it. really enjoys the walking around World Showcase.
Right, okay.
So what we do when
we go... It's a chilled out walk, because it's very hot sometimes.
It is very... It was really hot when we were there, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah.
But we
walked from... Hollywood to Epcot, was it?
Oh, that was the hottest day as well. Oh my god, that was insane. Yeah. I remember how much I was sweating when we walked into that shop and I bought Donna that mug.
Oh yeah, yeah, at Boardwalk.
At the Boardwalk, yeah. Oh my god, I was sweating. It was absolutely horrendous. Oh,
it was the hottest part of the day.
It was about 1 o'clock, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a lovely walk.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what we do when Donna and I go around World Showcase is we go into pretty much every shop.
Okay.
Yeah. Just have a little look. We don't really buy too much, to be honest. The one thing I am looking forward to when the Food and Wine Festival isn't on,
okay,
is going to Epcot and having some of the food that isn't at the festival.
You know, you can do that when the festival's
What's
on.
What's the point? The festival's on. So one of my favorite places outside of the festival is I always forget what it's called, but it's the bakery in Germany.
Oh, okay. Right.
Where they sell the old man sweets.
The old man sweets?
The old man sweets.
What, the Werther's?
Werther's, yeah.
Is that a bakery?
Yeah, they've got like a little bakery in there.
Oh, okay. I don't really want to go in the Werther's shop.
Yeah, you should. Right. They've got like a bakery counter. They have Werther's popcorn, which is best popcorn I've ever had. It is so good. Like caramel Werther's popcorn.
Nice.
Really, really good. So I'm looking forward to just doing that. Just popping in there and actually
enjoying it outside of the festival.
You can't do it. Like, we go to the festival, you eat a few things and you get full.
Mm.
You don't want to, you almost don't want to, it's not wasting it, but you're kind of wasting your time by buying something that's not at the festival when there's so many other food and beverage options available.
Mm-hmm.
So in the last week, I am looking forward to popping into Epcot and maybe going to Electric Umbrella.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And maybe going to the German bakery and enjoying something from there. So that's something I'm looking forward to. But yeah, if you've got the Disney dining plan and you're there for a long period of time, week plus, then using the credits at the Food and Wine Festival is a must do.
Yes, it would make a huge difference to your budget, wouldn't it? Really.
Yeah, and your gift card as well is always a good shout. So if you book from the UK, more often than not, you get $200. So I would absolutely use that. I think we used some of that, didn't we?
Yeah, I think you used most of yours at the dining, the Food and Wine.
Yeah, because obviously alcohol doesn't count as a snack.
Yeah,
so we used, I think I used $100 of it, plus some from the money that Disney gave us
for our five-minute
delay. That was amazing. So, absolutely agree with Janine there on the Food and Wine Festival. What else have we got here? Soarin', it's so realistic. Not sure I agree with you, Victoria, but it is a great ride, that's for sure.
I think it looks amazing. I personally don't have too much trouble with the CGI elements. I don't think they look that bad. I know you will disagree. The bit that takes it away is when you see like the Eiffel Tower bent.
Oh yeah,
but it depends on where you seat, doesn't it?
That's famous on Diz Twitter.
Yeah,
that is.
Yeah.
Fernando says World Showcase, all of it. It's a good. It is a great part of Epcot. I think I'd like to see another country being added.
Yeah, I mean, that's been rumoured for a while now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think it will happen?
Maybe.
I think
it's going to happen, it's 2021.
I don't think it will happen for a very long time, because they're obviously introducing Guardians, Ratatouille.
Yeah.
Is there anything I'm missing?
New replacement show for Illumination.
Yeah, new shows. And they've already said that more is going to be announced.
Yeah.
You know, we've heard rumours recently of, like, a Mary Poppins ride coming to the UK pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's bound to be other things that are going to change. You know, the Coco's been rumoured for
a long time. Yeah. I think they've almost missed the chance there.
Possibly.
Coco, I don't think is it's a great movie, but I think people don't care as much as they do about, like, say, Frozen or
I don't think it's
Toy
got,
Story.
Yeah, it doesn't have the big, like, cult it's not following the franchise, power. Has it?
And the guy that's directed it has just left Pixar after 25 years.
Yeah.
Lee
Ulrich?
Ulrich or something like that,
How do you say his name? Do you reckon he's going to go to Sundance? Is it Sundance or
Skydance? Where John Lasseter's gone.
Yeah, wherever he's
gone. If he does that, I think that's a real kick in the teeth, isn't it?
It's a
bit of a coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a coincidence that they both left at a similar sort of time.
Yeah.
It was the first thing that I thought when I saw that. Was
same
that,
here, yeah.
Is he going to go join that? If they announce that, that's, I think that's pretty damning for Lee.
Yeah.
To follow the guy who got kicked out of Disney or Pixar and Disney because of,
misdemeanor.
Yeah.
shall we say.
It's a bit odd to follow him, I think, if he did that.
I completely agree if he does go there. Hopefully he doesn't.
I mean, it may be completely unrelated. Maybe he's just leaving because Lassiter's left.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe they were friends, whatever. Maybe maybe he thinks now's a good time because Lassiter's leaving.
Yeah.
Now's a good time for me to leave. Who knows? But yeah. Hopefully he hasn't gone to the same place.
Fingers crossed. Claire says Sauron is far, but Frozen isn't far behind.
Frozen's a good ride.
Frozen is a good ride. I do agree. Emily says Journey into Imagination with Figment, obviously because it's Figment. I was pleased that somebody said Figment, but the ride right now is not good.
No.
I think Figment's a great character, and I completely agree with Emily there. But I would really like to see.
Yeah.
A replacement ride.
They've
for that.
Got to do something with it because to me. It doesn't.
Sells a lot of merchandise.
They sell a huge amount of merchandise for Figment. It's like when we saw it in the Food and Wine, a lot of it was focused on Figment.
Yeah.
And you think if they're pushing the Figment character, why do they have such a poor ride representing Figment?
Yeah.
Like you can't do both, really. I don't think you can't say we've got, because they invented the character, didn't they? For
yeah, that's right.
So you think they can't be pushing the character and yet not have and then have a poor ride backing it up?
Yeah, I think that the time is now for Disney to announce a replacement for that.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's still one that includes Figment.
Yeah, and I think...
It'd be a shame to lose
They're obviously pushing the park towards more character-based stuff, and obviously Figment fits into that. So I think it would make sense if they kept...
I say the only way they could maybe save the replacement to Illuminations is by bringing Figment into it to be the centre point.
Right.
And saying, right, we're all going to imagine...
Mm.
Imagine a world, blah blah blah, and then in comes various Disney characters.
Yeah,
that would be pretty cool if Figment was almost the Jiminy Cricket of wishes.
Yeah,
to Epcot's show.
Yeah,
that would work that. Quite well and please Epcot fans.
Yeah, it would.
And allow them to introduce IPs.
Yeah,
if they miss out on that or if they include it, it's my idea and they stole it.
When's the new show coming
next
out?
Next year now.
Is it next year? Okay.
Yeah,
because when's the
replacement? There's going to be like an interim replacement.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can't remember when that...
As soon as Illumination goes...
Because Illuminations is there when I'm there in April.
Yeah, it's still going to be there. It stops in the summer.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So you'll see the new show, the interim
show. Presuming
there's
one there, yeah.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see what that's like. Probably going to be pants because it's interim.
Yeah. It seems strange that why they introduce an interim show. Why not just keep Illuminations for longer?
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
They need to make...
They probably need to stop with the as many fireworks so they can set up for the new show around the edges, maybe.
One. Yeah, possibly. Yeah, that probably makes sense. And they just don't want to take away the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Because obviously I guess it would flood the other shows. Although they're introducing a new show in Hollywood.
That's right,
as well, so you think that would obviously take some...
Disney haven't really found the... I mean, obviously you've got Fantasmic, but in terms of other offering at Hollywood Studios, they haven't found anything that's stuck yet, have
no,
they?
No, they've struggled. They have struggled with that.
I thought the Star Wars show was disappointing.
When I first saw it, it was really good. I wasn't as blown away when I saw it in October.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't... When you see the fireworks from a distance, you think, oh my God, this show looks amazing.
Mm.
But when you're there up close, it really is just Star Wars clips on.
Yeah, I think sometimes as well, because it's quite a small area, when they've got projections and fireworks, it doesn't always work out because you get a lot of light from the fireworks and it impacts the projections. So, yeah. There are certain bits that don't really work with that show, so hopefully they'll...
Hopefully
the new one will be an improvement because I'll be there when it opens.
Yeah, that'd be cool to see.
Andrew
says, Spaceship Earth. Everything about it, the fact that it's a classic, is one. Secondly, it's nice to chill out and take a chilled out ride through the centuries.
With Judy.
With Judy.
Yeah. Is it Judy or Judy?
Judy
Dench, isn't
Judy
it?
Judy Dench, yeah.
Yeah. For a second there, I thought you said Julie, and I was like, did I get it
wrong? I love Spaceship Earth. It's maybe interesting to see what Disney do to it when it closes.
Yes, because it's rumoured to be closing for a long time, isn't it?
I think it'll be down, maybe all of next year?
I think
and opening probably in time for 2021 anniversary.
Potentially, yeah. Yeah, it was a long old closure, wasn't it, that it was rumoured to be going for? I can't really exactly remember how long it was for.
No, I don't think Disney have actually officially announced it.
No, they haven't, have they? I don't think they've officially announced anything more to Epcot. Like, they said they were going to do the show, and they've released more details about the show.
Yeah.
But I don't think they've actually released any more confirmed like new rides or anything like that.
No, no, no.
Or any new expansion plans yet. Whether we'll see some at D23.
Possibly, yeah.
Maybe. Is there one this year?
I think it's every 2 years, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if there is one this year.
No. Josh says, Mission Space is the only one I remember from when I went. Fair enough. Can't argue with that.
I wouldn't say, that's quite surprising. It doesn't strike me as the most memorable ride, unless it was such a traumatic experience.
You've never done it.
You've not done it. Okay, I know what you mean. Yeah,
you've not done Orange Team. Someone's replied to him saying, Ellen's Energy Adventure all the way.
Wow.
I liked Ellen's Energy Adventure, I have to say.
I have no recollection of it, because it's been such a... Because we would have been on it the first few times we went, and then we wouldn't have gone on it again. It's like a 45-minute show, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a long show, but I always used to go on that after being quite full with food and wine, and just watching that was great. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
I'm going to enjoy Guardians much more.
Yeah, I think I will as well, yeah. Scott says, trying to answer this question, realise I don't really have a favourite attraction, just enjoying everything else about it, especially walking around World Showcase. Jackie says, Test Track as well.
Nice.
Donna, don't know who she is. Living with the Land, a good ride to chill out on, and nice and relaxing and interesting too.
Yeah.
And she's given a little kiss as well.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm assuming because she knows who we are.
Maybe she might.
I even gave her a nice little reply. And then you'll truly be Living with the Land.
And Living with the Land's a great ride, isn't it?
I love that ride.
You definitely appreciate it more with age.
Yeah, I remember as a kid, I didn't really enjoy it. Other than the first bit, where you go through like the jungle and desert and things like that. When you get to the greenhouses, I was just like, bored.
Yeah, whereas now it's quite interesting.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. And I can't wait to do Behind the Seeds.
Yes. Yeah, that should be really good. It should be really interesting.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So that's something we want to do as part of our honeymoon.
Do you know how much the tickets are for that?
They're quite cheap, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe like $50. I think. Let me just have a look.
It's a great name as well. Behind the Seeds.
Oh, that's brilliant. Whoever came up for that needs a promotion. 100%. I do really like that ride. I could ride that 2 or 3 times in a day.
Yeah.
$25.
That's really good value.
It's great, isn't it?
That's incredible.
Really good.
$25. I mean, I'm going to assume it's probably not the busiest.
It's probably not very long either. It's probably maybe half hour, 45 minutes.
Well, I mean, look, they've got one here at 12, one here at 12:45.
It's about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Then.
I mean, unless they overlap. Because obviously, if the tours could be later, but
it's probably no more than an hour.
You wouldn't have thought they would overlap because it required them to have more staff.
Yeah,
and if they're only charging $25 for it,
they're
not going to have like multiple people going through at a time.
Yeah,
but that's pretty good considering they do them quite frequently throughout the day. And if it's not too long, then you don't feel like it's taking a lot out of your day.
Yeah,
to do it
exactly. Alan says American Adventure because my wife Judy and I are history buffs. I must apologise to you, Alan.
I didn't think American Adventure was going
to
come up.
I know, I was surprised when I saw it. My response to try and keep things civil was interesting choice, rather than saying it was terrible, and said that they must love Spaceship Earth as well, in which Alan replied, yes, but they do love Spaceship Earth. But American Adventure, as I've said it many times before, I think it came up as one of our least favourite attractions at Epcot.
Yeah.
And partly why is because the story they're telling is incredibly exaggerated and not quite true. Ben says, Ben, who's the Ben that I've been to Disneyland Paris with, one of our good friends, Soarin' is pretty special. And he also went on to say, the original was good, but Around the World is better.
I agree.
Which is interesting, he also replied later on in the thread to say something else, which I can no longer find. Oh, thanks a lot, guys. I've just watched Epcot videos for the last 2 hours. Now I want to go back.
I hope he booked his tickets.
I don't think he has yet, but I'll see if he can...
Disappointing. Just spur of the moment booking.
Yeah, just spent $6,000 on a trip. Yeah. What else have we got here? The original version of Test Track. I loved how cheesy it was with the heat lamps and cold room showing the extremes and then the corrosion spraying robots. Also, Maelstrom, my absolute favourite ride. Growing up in northern Minnesota and hearing about my Norse heritage, it just brought it to life for me. Lovely. Lovely little comment there. I think,
again, another comment about agreeing with us that the original was probably better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Steve says, Living with the Land, don't know why, I just think it's different. Plus the backstage tour, there is great value. There you go, we've just seen that.
Yeah.
He's obviously been on it, so I'd be interested to see what his thoughts are.
I mean, he hasn't said it's pants, so that's a good start.
Great value.
Yeah.
Spaceship Earth, says Bob, relaxing and a trip through history. Love it. Completely agree. And then finally, Michael says, I'm an old school Epcot guy. It's between Body Wars in the Wonders of Life Pavilion or Horizons. I remember Body Wars, not so much Horizons. That closed in, I think it was 99.
Right.
So I was only 8. I don't remember it that well. Yeah. I definitely went on it, but I don't remember it that well. Body Wars, I do remember. It's quite distinctly, actually. Despite that closing, I think it wasn't that. It was quite a while ago, I think.
I don't really remember either of those, to be fair. I know the name.
Body 2007. Wars. So it was. Right, it had another few years on it.
Okay.
That was great. I did enjoy that. And yeah, in terms of my favourites, they've kind of come up there, really.
Yeah.
Spaceship Earth for sure. Test Track, I love. World Showcase, for me, is an attraction in itself, especially during festival season, mm-hmm. which seems to be almost every day of the year now. What with the Festival of the Arts going on at the moment,
right.
Then you've got the Flower and Garden Festival, and then you've got Food and Wine Festival, and also you have Holidays Around the World, which also has food and beverage options around the world. There's maybe a period of 4 or 5 weeks of the year where there is no festival going on.
Disney are going to fill that up, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're gonna
close the festival.
Yeah, they're going to close the gap.
Yeah.
Every year, slowly but surely.
Yeah, every year the Food and Wine Festival dates get goes on for longer.
Yeah.
And gets bigger and bigger. So those are some of my favourites, as we've discussed before, and I don't know about you, but...
Yeah, I mean, you obviously got all the big ones like Test Track and Soarin' and... Frozen is a decent ride, and
The
Land and Spaceship Earth, all those ones. I think probably Soarin's probably my all-time favourite in Epcot, I would say.
I think Soarin' is one of those rides, when I first went on it, and even to this day, I still walk off smiling, but when I first went on it and got off, I was absolutely blown away.
Yeah.
Absolutely blown away by it.
Even after waiting like an insane amount in that very slow moving queue.
Oh no, we rushed. We didn't remember the mad rush for the fast passes when there was like 4 fast pass machines and like 2,000 people trying to get the fast passes.
Yeah.
So we always used to do that.
I'm sure we would have done the same, but then we ride it again in the fast pass for it. And yeah, I remember many times queuing for that for a very long time.
Never queued for them.
Yeah, I know. You always went fast pass, didn't you?
We always went fast pass and queued for Test Track.
Yeah.
Soarin' is one of those rides, and I think the only ride that has since given that sensation is there's two of them. There's the Forbidden Journey.
Right.
When I first read that, I was blown away by just the detail that Universal put into Hogwarts and Hogsmeade and Flight of Passage.
Yeah,
I hate Avatar. I don't think it's a very good franchise, but that ride is incredible.
Yeah, I know. I would agree with Flight of Passage. I was less blown away with.
You're not like a huge Potterhead, though, are you?
I'm not a huge Potterhead. I enjoy the films and that sort of stuff, and I think that what Universal did with The Land was incredible.
Yeah,
and the rides are very good. The one I can never remember the name of it. It's not Escape from Gringotts. It's the other one.
Forbidden Journey. I guess you just said it.
Yeah, I know. It's gone. It can turn my stomach, so it's not always my favourite ride.
It also is the ride where you end up losing lots of money.
Yeah. Yes. Hopefully the ride didn't break after that.
I can't believe, honestly, that how much change is falling out of your pocket during that. I thought it was me. I was really panicking.
It flipped, because it sends you quite far back, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And a lot of money rolled out of my pockets and into the chair, and it just made this like chinking sound against the plastic of the seats. And I was spent half the ride trying to gather up coins from what I was sitting on.
Oh, it was funny. And we ended up doing that twice.
So we did.
You ended up losing change on both counts.
I think I did, actually.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah. So only somebody had a nice day because they found some coins.
Yeah,
coins
some of the maintenance workers found maybe 25 cents, so I'm sure that made their day. So that's it for this week's podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it. If you like these kind of episodes, let us know. We'll do more of them. Until then, you can find us on our website, themeparktrader.com. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of the socials. Our username is themeparktrader. And I'm also on Twitter, at Ryanogs, RYANOGS. And Dan is on Twitter.
Yeah, Scrooby Online, SCRWBY Online.
Please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Just search for Theme Park Trader. And we will see you again next week.
Ah, there you are. And just in time, there's a little matter I forgot to mention. Beware of hitchhiking ghosts. They have selected you to fill our quota, and they'll haunt you until you return.